We're going to conclude our study in 1 Thessalonians this morning, or in 2 Thessalonians, excuse me. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, and I want to read verses 16 through 18, where Paul says, "Now the Lord of peace himself give you peace always by all means. The Lord be with you all. The salutation of Paul with mine own hand, which is the token in every epistle, so I wrote. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen." Verse 17 is a verse that tells not only those in Thessalonica, but other places, other churches, that this is an authentic letter from Paul. There were those who were sending out forgeries, it seems, from chapter 2 and verse 2, where Paul says that ye be not soon shaken in mind or troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Obviously, there were people that were forging Paul's epistles or putting out false information under Paul's name. So Paul says from then on he would simply sign the epistle, even though in this case, in all of his epistles, basically they were written by another or a scribe. So that's what verse 17 is dealing with. In verse 16, Paul says, "Now the Lord of peace himself give you peace always by all means. The Lord be with you all." I think we all would enjoy a little peace. And the Lord does provide it, seemingly, from time to time. I know we would love to have peace in the world. I know that the nation of Israel would love to have peace. And that you can enjoy being out on the street without fear of being stoned or shot. And so Paul is encouraging them to have peace as well. In Matthew chapter 10, verses 34 and 35, Jesus makes a very strange statement. "Think not that I've come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance with his father, and his daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law." Notice that he says, "I've not come to send peace here on the earth." Obviously, we know that the Word of God says we'll have tribulation. People will hate those who have a desire to please God and to live for Him and to honor Him in their life. And I think that we see already that some of our privileges are being taken from us because of the hatred of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and the God who raised Jesus Christ from the dead. So we are going to have trouble here on the earth. When I think about peace, I think about variance, opposition. And notice here it says, "I have not come to send peace on the earth." And I was wondering, where does God expect peace to be? In our hearts. There's not going to be peace on the earth. But while there is no peace on the earth, we can have peace where? In our hearts. We don't have to be stressed out. We don't have to be at variance with God. When we don't have peace in our hearts, we have variance with the Lord. We have a problem with God. And there are times when God has a problem with you and I. And that's the reason why coming to the table, where we remember the Lord's death till He comes, we have an opportunity to make peace with the Lord and confession of sin. Jesus told His apostles and His disciples in John 14:27, in fact He tells us too. He says, "Peace I leave with you, My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Part of the lack of peace has to do with fear. And I like the way He says, I'm leaving peace with you. I'm giving peace with you. And not as the world gives peace, give I unto you. In other words, He is making sure that we understand that He wants us to have peace. By any means, by any way that we can, He wants us to have peace, and He doesn't want our hearts to be troubled. I think our hearts are troubled when we lose confidence in our God, that He is not big enough, He is not powerful enough, that He can't, or usually it's not that He can't, I think we all believe that God can, but that God won't. That troubles us when God won't respond to what we want, and when we want it. And that causes us to be troubled and not have peace. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 33, it says, "For God is not the author of confusion." And we usually stop right there. And God isn't the author of confusion. But God is a God of peace. One of the things that causes us to lose peace is confusion. When we don't understand what's happening in our life, we are confused. We are in a state of delusion, and that causes us anxiety. We're always worried about tomorrow, and you know what Jesus said about tomorrow? It'll take care of itself. You need to take care of today. You need to trust Me today. You need to seek first the kingdom of God today, and the righteousness which is by faith today. There'll be trouble tomorrow. And you know, God doesn't give grace for tomorrow. He only gives you grace that you can use now. There is no extra portion of grace for the days ahead. That's just why you have to come to the throne of grace daily to obtain mercy and to find grace to help in seasons of need. So God is not only a God of is not a God of confusion, but He is a God of peace. One of the things that you will find is reading through Paul's epistles is that you find grace and peace. In the context of these three verses, we find peace and then grace. Grace is here. It's not in the same order that is provided in the personal epistles and also the church epistles. But Paul is constantly saying grace and peace. One of the things that provides us with peace is confidence, assurance. The grace of God provides us with strength. And when we have the power or the strength of God in our hearts and in our lives, that removes a certain amount of fear, wonder, confusion. And in reminding ourselves in 1 Thessalonians 1:1, where Paul says, "Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." Where does grace and peace come from? It comes from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. In 2 Thessalonians 1:2, it says, "Grace and peace, or grace unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." There are 17 times that this combination occurs in Paul's epistles, or in the New Testament for that matter. So, we need the grace of God, the strength of God, the power of God in our life, and that will help us with the peace of God. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2, it says, "Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord." Why do we study the Bible on Sunday morning here? Because I want you to have grace and peace. And the studies that we have here are not just simply milk. This word here, knowledge, is epinosis, knowledge upon knowledge. We study last Sunday, and we're building on top of that study from last Sunday. This Sunday, we're constantly building knowledge upon knowledge. For what reason? So that you can have grace and you can have peace. It's the knowledge of the Word of God that provides us with both. We need to know what we can expect from our God. I'm not going to walk across the Mississippi River down here unless it's in January and February and it's got to be 4 inches of ice all the way across. In other words, I know better than to try to walk on water. I'm not expecting to do that. And we need to know that God only allowed one person to walk on water beside Himself. And that person was Peter. And he walked far enough to keep the apostles' mouth shut. And he sank far enough to keep his own mouth shut. So, if you want to try to walk on water, you won't impress anybody, but you'll sure know something when you get done trying. So anyway, we need to study the Word of God, and we need knowledge upon knowledge, and that will provide us with grace and peace. In Romans 5:21, it says that as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. How does the grace of God reign? It reigns through right living. You cannot be living in sin expecting grace to reign. Grace is the power of Christ. And if you're living in sin or rebellion against Him or at variance against the Lord, He's not going to give you His strength to keep that up. And so therefore we cannot expect grace to reign unless we're living a life that's found pleasing to Him. Hebrews 4:16 tells us, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." When I think about obtaining mercy, I think of the mercy seat and the blood on the mercy seat, a place where we can be forgiven and fellowship restored. Then the grace that is needed will be our portion, that we might serve Him acceptably with reverence and godly fear. I've already alluded to the fact that the grace of God is strength and power, and really is the power of Christ. We find that in 2 Corinthians 12:9, when the Lord said unto Paul, "My grace is sufficient for thee, Paul. My strength is made perfect in your weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in mine infirmities, that the power of Christ might rest upon me." Paul didn't worry about being weak. He knew that it was in his weakness that God's grace could be perfected. The power of Christ could be administered to Paul. When we know we're weak, we know we need something else besides what we have. And that's when grace of God becomes effectual. Now, without His grace, there can be no peace. Isaiah 57, verses 20 and 21, it tells us, "But the wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked." When there is no peace, there is no rest. There's always that churning. There's always that knot in your stomach. There's always that loss of sleep. Now that's not the I'm not saying every time you lose sleep that you're the wicked, and you know that you're wicked. There are times when you want to pray a long time at night. What does it say? There's no peace, there's no rest of the wicked, and the righteous don't need it, right? Well, the last part of that is not in the Bible, okay? So I just want to go on with the rest of the lesson here. There is no peace to those that are not living for the Lord. In Romans chapter 3, verses 17 through 18, it says, "The way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes." One of the problems about, one of the difficulties about not having peace is no fear of the Lord. Fear of the Lord is part of having peace. Now, I'm not talking about being afraid of Him. I'm talking about respect of Him. If we have no fear of the Lord, then we're going to be like those found in Romans chapter 3, verses 11 through 16. Now, this passage of Scripture is usually associated and attributed to the lost. But my personal feeling is that this has to do with the believer who has lost his fear of God. To the believer that has gone out of the way of peace and have and they don't know the way of peace. Let me just read here. "There is none that understandeth." In other words, if you don't have the fear of the Lord, you have lost some understanding about what the fear of the Lord will do for you. The fear of the Lord will cause you to do what? Forsake sin. Repent of it. To depart from evil. "There is none that seeketh after God." I don't know about you, but I know when I wasn't doing right, I sure didn't want to see Mama or Daddy coming home. And when you're not doing right, you sure your prayer life falls off rapidly, and your devotions, the reading of the Scriptures, comes to a halt. And so therefore, those that that have lost their understanding, they're not going to be seeking after the Lord. They are gone out of the way. This is the reason why I think that this is dealing with the saved. The saved are the ones who were in the way and then are able to leave the way. The lost have never been in the way. You understand that? So this is the reason why I believe that this is dealing with saved people and not lost people. Because when you start slipping away from the Lord, you leave the way that leads unto righteousness and unto life for the age. They are together become unprofitable. Have you ever heard of the unprofitable servant? Yes, an unprofitable servant will spend a little time in outer darkness and he won't like it. "There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher." In other words, a sepulcher is a place where you bury the dead. And this doesn't mean that he has bad breath. This means that he is talking about death. Confused. "Their tongues have they used to deceit." They're not honest, not only with themselves, but with others. "The poison of asp is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness." When you talk to them, maybe in church they don't curse, but they're bitter. "Their feet are swift to shed blood." I don't know that it's necessarily out to stab somebody, but they sure can kill somebody with their tongue when the poison under their, you know, under their lips. "Destruction and misery are in their ways." Now that's not talking about eternity. This is talking about now, I believe. And it could mean for a period of time in the millennium that they will have to endure a little destruction and misery. But that's just simply what's going to happen to those that are bitter, that have departed from the way, that have lost their fear of the Lord. Okay? Now, Romans chapter 2, verse 10 tells us, "But glory and honor and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile." If you're doing right, you're going to have peace. If you're not doing right, you're not going to have peace. And the Word of God says, let the peace of God umpire in your heart. If you don't have peace, something's wrong. Change. Because what's going to happen is found in verses 7 through 9 of Romans chapter 2. To them who by patient continuance in well-doing are seeking for glory and honor and incorruption, and they'll have life for the coming age. But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. The point here is this. The contentious, they do not have peace because they're not obeying. They are going to experience tribulation and anguish. And there won't be peace. That's the point. We are to be seeking to do good that we might enjoy peace. Because the Word of God says, peace to every man that works good, that does the right thing. Philippians chapter 4 also encourages us in our prayer life. Be anxious for nothing. That's, you know, people will say, that's easy for you to say, Paul. You're not here. Being anxious, the word careful has to do with being anxious, being uptight, being troubled. And it says, be anxious or trouble or careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. You know, by making our request being made known unto God, we hear what our request is, and God knows what to do to change our request. That's what needs to happen, oftentimes. We need to change our request, and we'll see that in just a few moments. And if we'll do this, it says, the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. It's the peace of God that guards, actually, your hearts and your thought life through Jesus Christ. And then Paul goes on, and I think this is part of the reason why many of us don't have peace. We continually dwell on the wrong thing. We're continually thinking about every possibility of everything going wrong and downhill, and God's not doesn't like me anymore, and He hates me, and if he loved me, I wouldn't be doing this or having this and so forth. Let me just read verse 8. Finally, brethren, and notice who he's talking to. He's talking to brethren. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. We're having a dilemma in our land right now. I don't even want to watch it on TV. If it comes on, I turn the TV off or I change the station. I don't want to listen to that because it stresses me when I think about it. And the Lord says, don't think about those things. Get your mind on things that are right, that will encourage you in the Lord. Get your mind on the Word of God and what God is going to do for those who will do right. He says in verse 9, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen, do it. Do it. And the God of peace shall be with you. The God of peace will be with you. If the God of peace is with you, you're going to experience peace as well. Now, I've already mentioned Colossians 3, verse 15 and 16, when I said, let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Let the peace of God be in charge or help you to know when you have started to depart from the way. to which also ye are called unto one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. The peace of God can't rule in your heart if the word of Christ does not dwell in your hearts richly. You're not going to be able to teach and admonish anyone. Psalms and hymns and spiritual songs are just not going to be there. All of us have got a harp or two, and we're going to be looking for a willow tree to hang it on. That's what the children of Israel did when they got away from the will of the Lord. They were weeping and moaning, and they couldn't sing. And we need to let the Word of Christ dwell in our hearts richly, and we will have peace. In Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 through 24, the fruit of the Spirit is peace. That's one of them. But the fruit of the Spirit, of His Son that is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. The Spirit here, I believe, is not the Holy Spirit, but the Spirit of His Son, which is the Spirit that the Lord Jesus Christ had when He said, Abba, Father. In Galatians chapter 4, verse 6, it says, because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. If you can cry, Abba, Father, you're going to have peace. If you can't do that, you're going to have tribulation and anguish. Because you're not going to like the cup that God may give you. And in fact, we all have a cup to drink. In fact, in John chapter 18, verse 11, the disciples wanted to defend the Lord in the garden. And the Lord says, the cup that the Father has given me, I've got to drink it. I'm going to drink that cup. And that's the reason why the Lord could say, Abba, Father. In 2 Peter chapter 3, in closing, verses 13 and 14, Peter says, nevertheless, we, according to His promise, look for a new heaven and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing ye look for such things, be diligent that ye be found of Him in peace, without spot and blameless. The peace of God is paramount. When you don't have peace, you're out of control. Out of whose control? Well, you're out of your own control. And you're out of control of the Lord. The weapons of our warfare are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. What kind of strongholds? Our imagination. We need to bring our thoughts into captivity unto the obedience of Christ. And how do we do that? It's the knowledge of God. Our imaginations argue and try to defeat the knowledge of God. And we've got to bring our thoughts into captivity so that that doesn't happen, so that we can be found in peace. Are you looking for a new heavens and a new earth? Are you looking for the Lord's return? I am. The Lord says you better be diligent in having peace. Because if you're out of control, you will not endure to the end. I just think about the sin of the children of Israel. The Lord said, when you get away from me, you fall away from me, He says, a leaf is going to shake. And you're going to run like you're being chased by an army. When you're right with the Lord, an army can run at you, and there is no fear. You have peace. Father, we just thank You for Your Word, and the counsel that it gives us, particularly in these last days. Those in Thessalonica were suffering physical persecution and tribulation. And yet Paul was able to say, have peace. Have God's grace. And Lord, even though we may not be suffering like those in Thessalonica, we still need grace and peace today. We know, Lord, that we may not endure if the peace of God does not rule in our hearts. Help us, Lord, to apply Your Word that we might be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. For it's in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ we pray. Amen.